Peace of Christ be with you. Welcome to a Friday in February. We had first snow yesterday. I don't know if I've ever been in the middle of October and had quite that snowstorm. I thought I was in February. But welcome to chapel in October. Y'all, we've got some guests here that are checking out Hope College. We want to welcome you to our place. There's lots of great places to go to school, but there's no place like Hope. That's my favorite place. Can I just say this? I love, and I'm using the word love, I love singing with you. I love worshiping with you in this place. It's just, it has nothing to do with my sermon today. I just want to say thanks. I just love it. If you're new and entering into the chapel today, we are working our way through Paul's letter to the Christians in Rome. And we're beginning in chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Hear the word of the Lord from the book that we love. Paul writes these words. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in the hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that our suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured his love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And much more surely then, having been justified by his blood, we will be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved through his life. And much more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have been given reconciliation. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'm kind of sense of place sensitive, which means that I like to think about my environment a lot. Maybe it's because I grew up on an island in the Puget Sound, had a panoramic vision of the Olympic Mountains growing up, but I care about place a lot. Outside places and inside places. One of my favorite places that I inhabited every day is my study in the Keppel House. It's on the second floor. It's room number 2. It has a little perch that overlooks 10th Street. I love my study. I love my place. If you come into my study, you'll notice that there are 2 shades of green on the walls. And the green is to remind me of a daily prayer. Lord, make us like trees planted by streams of water. Everything in my study, whether it's the paint or the pictures on the wall, tell a story. Each book is a conversation partner. Each knickknack is a reminder of a person or a place that's important to me. I like to enter into my place. My place reminds me of important things in my life. And in that place, I have certain routines. And just about every morning that I go to the Keppel House, I get a cup of coffee, put a little vanilla creamer in it, put that in first, and then my coffee. Go upstairs. I sit at my desk, and I open up the computer, and I look at the headlines in the New York Times. Usually the news is bad. Today there was stuff about Syria again. Chemical warfare, local economies don't look good. There was corruption in the government. Somebody was ranting and raving in the op-ed. I look on the computer and check the headlines, what's going on in the world outside of our little campus here. And there's a lot of strife and contention and pain and loss. I click on my email and I check out what came in over the night, and some of it's good, but somebody's usually mad about something, or there's a problem to be solved, or I sit there and I think about all that's going on. I think about what's all going on at the college, and I think about what's all going on at you, with you. And I slide over to the right just a little bit, and I sip my cup of coffee. And I look out the window, and I see it. And it's what I need to see every single morning that I sip that cup of coffee. Every single morning I check the headlines and I read my email. I sit there and I feel really overwhelmed and I feel really helpless. How do you bring healing to this world? How do we fix all of these problems that are so systemic? I look out my window and I see it, and it's one of the reasons why I really love my study, is it's a room with a view. Outside of my study on the little perch on the second floor of the Keppel House, I look out across 10th Street. And that looks right onto the north facade of Lubbers Hall. And this is what I see. I see this magnificent building. It was named after Irwin Lubbers, Hope College's seventh president. It was established in 1941, and it used to be the science building originally. Today, it is where we house most of our liberal arts, our religion department, our history, our philosophy, our political science. Our beloved new dean, Patrice Rankin, is in there. Do y'all know Patrice? Y'all should know Patrice. You should tweet. You get on his Twitter. You should know Patrice. I love Patrice. He's new this year, but he's a brother, and he is a gospel friend. I look out across to Lubbers Hall, and feeling overwhelmed, I see what I need to see the most. What I see is really easy to pass by and never notice. It's so ordinary because it's built right into the architecture. But what I see reframes my reality, and it reminds me that my life has been reclaimed. It reminds me that there is an answer to the deep pain and the deep healing in the world. When I look out across 10th Street and onto Lubbers Hall, I see the cross. Have you ever noticed this? How each window in Lubbers Hall is framed by a cross?
No.
No? Well, brother, you should go after this. That's awesome. You should go right over there and check it out. On the north facade, there are 24 crosses. And I've counted them. I think I've counted 65 crosses that freckle Lubbers Hall altogether. Each window that is an entree into each little room and professor's study is a cross. What dominates the view for me are all of these crosses. And that's what I need to see. Because the cross is a reminder of reality. And when I use the word reality, I mean the reality in the sense that it's really true. The reality in the sense that it's the governing dynamic of all things. Whether you know it or not, what the cross says to us is that God has conquered the world. What the cross says to us is that God heals the world. What the cross says to us is that God loves the world. I check out the headlines, and I'm overwhelmed. And I can't help but thinking sometimes, God, where are you? Have you just abdicated your presence? Have you just left us to ourselves? Do you actually really give a damn about any of this pain that's going on? And I see it. A cross. And I'm reminded of the gravity of grace. But God proves his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely than having been justified by his blood, we will be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more surely then, having been reconciled, will we be saved through his life? Does God love us? I wonder, as I look out across the street and I see the cross and I can't help but declare yes. But God proves his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait for us to become righteous. He didn't wait for us to get our stuff together. We didn't have to be perfect and wear lily white gloves to church and have our life all together. But while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And that death was once for all times and for all people. It is the gravity of grace. When I look out across 10th Street and onto Lubbers Hall and I see all of those crosses, I am reminded that there is another reality that frames all the pain. It is a reminder that God has not abdicated his presence. It is a reminder that God is with us and that God is for us. It is a reminder that God loves you. God loves me. God loves this world so much that he enters it and gives his own life, spills his own blood so that we might be justified. We might be given peace. On the cross, we are reconciled. When I look out across 10th Street and on to Lubbers Hall, I'm reminded that things can be different. Because they are. God has saved the world. It is a reminder to me that it's not about me. Christianity is not a religion, it's a revelation. If you look up religion in any definition, it's about what we do. It's about what humans do to seek God. We set up rituals and rules and practices in order to orient our life to God. And certainly Christianity can be treated like a religion, but what gives Christianity its power, its durability, its staining power is Christ. And what gives Christ is overwhelming universal consequence for the world is not his teaching, but his cross. It is not his teaching that has the mere staying power. It is his decisive action on the cross. It is his blood that justified us, that set us free. That, my friends, is what I need to see. I look out across 10th Street and onto Lubbers Hall, and I am reminded of a gospel, of a good news, that God is with us and that God is for us. God's redemption is God's work alone. And on the cross, God accomplished that redemption. All of it. And that redemption means that I and you are free. It is the anchor of hope. And every time I see the cross, I am reminded that God loves this world and everything in it. I am reminded that I am free. Free now to love God. Free now to love you. Free now to be loved. It is that love that helps me reframe how to read what's on the New York Times and how to interpret that critique in the email. I am free now to love and to be loved. When I look out across 10th Street and onto Lubbers Hall, I see those crosses that freckle the building and what I see is an invitation. It is an invitation to lead a new kind of life. The victory that overcomes the world is faith in the cross of Christ, but not a faith that simply trusts the cross, but that lives it, wears it, and dies it. The cross is an invitation for us to be marked and sealed in Jesus, that his life would become our life. We are invited through the cross to live a sacrificial life, the kind of life that will enter into all the problems and complexities and the systemic issues, but we enter into it with a sense of hope and a sense of freedom because God has done what we could not do for ourselves. God has saved us. God has justified us. God has given us reconciliation. The good news, my friends, is that you are reconciled. God has saved the world. You can add or subtract nothing to it. All he asks is that we lean in with faith and joy to trust him. And in trusting him, follow him wherever it takes us. And if we follow him, it will lead us into the high country where we will share the glory, which is why Paul says, I boast in nothing but the hope of sharing the glory of God. All of that glory is made possible because of the cross. I love my study. I sit down every morning and I sip my cup of coffee and I see it. And I see you walking by it. And it fills me with hope and with love, which is why I love singing with you right here. As you go into this weekend, I hope you see it. I hope you see it around you. The cross that says to us that God loves us. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you that you love us. Bless each person here as they launch into this weekend. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.